Hey, this is George Bailey, and you're listening to Post Rock Paper Scissors. Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan! All right, welcome to Post Rock Paper Scissors. This is Armand here. Today is one of our curated podcasts. On the episode today, we've got Andy Othling of Lowercase Noises. How's it going, Andy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing just fine. So Andy curated today's podcast. He came up with the playlist. Before we dive into the tracks that we played, or are going to play, so Andy, what's new in the life of Andy Othling?
Well, basically, for people who follow me, probably know that I just had my second child. So,
congrats.
Thank you. And, it's the first one is, getting used to, and this one, the busyness is kind of compounding a little bit. So, she's, I think, 9 weeks old right now. So things are evening out, but it's still pretty busy time. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So for those who may not be familiar with your music, Andy, give us a brief, introduction about who Lowercase Noises is.
Yeah, so, it's basically just, me, for the most part. I play electric guitar as my main thing, and it just kind of started from, I really got into, effects pedals and stuff, and, got some recording software from a friend of mine in college and was just playing around with it, and it kind of just went from there and just started to have a desire to just, want to just create something. So, I would just mess around with pieces of songs or whatever, but turned into a desire to, okay, now I want to make a full song. Now I want to make a full album. And it kind of, I never really envisioned it being anything other than just for myself. And once I started doing a YouTube channel, it kind of just took off on its own, which is kind of fun. So, I'm still really surprised at people who want to listen to my stuff. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, while I was doing my research, I knew you had a YouTube channel, but I didn't know until I was writing down some stuff that you have over 100 videos on YouTube.
Yeah, that's I've had it for a couple of years now. I've been consistent at it for a couple of years, and it's kind of the way I got started, I guess, because I had a point where I wanted to figure out a better way to write songs. I was just kind of stuck. And I said, what if I just take the 10-minute YouTube time span that I have and just see what I can do with just one track, so I have an album called The Ambient Songs, which spans back for like 2 years. I think there's like 18 of them now, and that just started from the YouTube channel, and that's kind of how the whole thing started in a way.
All right. So I believe in the last 3 years, you've released 6 records. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's
so. How do you find the time to put out all of this?
Yeah. So in a sense, it's easier for me. I've only played a handful of shows. Like I don't tour. I want to, I'm hoping to do that this summer, but I haven't toured. I haven't been gone for long periods of time. So typically what happens is I'll write something, record it and release it. And then, I take a little break. I'm like, man, that was killer. But then, pretty soon afterwards I get the itch again, to do something. And, obviously with the albums for my kids, there was a obvious deadline. so that was a good motivating, force to get those done. So yeah.
All right. So you have, 2 records out this year. Would you like to talk about them a little bit?
Yeah. So, the first one was the Migratory Patterns EP, which was, I believe that was in May when that came out. And a couple songs that were left over from the album before, which was Carious All the Way. And I was just super inspired by this story I heard about. I don't remember the first place that I heard it, but it was about a whale that researchers had been studying that apparently they were able to track it so well because it had such a unique song. And I guess what they were able to infer from that and some other findings was that the whale couldn't actually communicate with any other whales. So it followed a completely different migratory patterns. That's where I got the name for the EP. So it's kind of just a really sad story to think about this whale who can't talk to any other whales. Maybe it passes by and tries to talk and it's like, what's going on? So I kind of wrote that album as like what the whale might feel emotionally. Like, I'm going to keep trying this. There's a song called Persistence. I'm going to keep trying to talk. But then in the end, I wrote a song that was just kind of about the whale dying and like sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So there was that EP. And then obviously my daughter was born in August, the end of August. So I had the album done before she was born, but I waited to release until the day she was born. So,
all right. So you've released two albums, one for each of your kids. Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, if you had twins, if you had twins next, would you have a double album?
Oh gosh, I guess I would kind of have to. I mean, it's like I set the precedent. I wouldn't want to disappoint anybody later in life or have them hold that against me. You know, like why didn't you wrote this for Marshall and Vivian? Why didn't you do that for me? So. I guess I would have to, so.
All right. do you just, like, play these albums while they sleep or something?
Yeah, so Marshall goes to sleep to his every night, and Vivian, her sleeping situation is kind of strained right now, but she does. Like, when my wife is, you know, feeding her for her last feeding, she'll put the album on, and yeah. But Marshall has been listening to it pretty much every night for a long time now, so it's kind of a cool thing, so.
All right, so we'll just dive into the playlist here.
Sure.
So, Andy, what was the, I guess, the inspiration or the motivation for today's playlist?
Yeah, so, when you asked me about it, I was thinking of how I wanted to do it. And I guess originally I was like, well, I'll just pick some of my favorite songs. But in the end, I decided to do something which was, like, so the tracks are going to go chronologically through songs by kind of how they inspired me. So the first song we heard... the Dredge song was kind of a pivotal moment that almost completely changed the type of music I was listening to and playing, and that kind of started me down the road of all the other stuff. And so, you know, the way you're going to hear it is kind of the way I discovered it, and hopefully I'll be able to give some insight into, you know, the next song, kind of what I took from that to move on to the next thing type of thing, so.
Sure. So what were you listening to before Dredge?
So, yeah, so I was in like a blues rock band, if you can believe that. So I was like, I was big into like Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I just wanted to, you know, I had every Van Halen album ever. And I just wanted to like totally shred on the guitar. So, but I, you know, at the end of it, I started just feeling kind of bored with it. You know, it's just, you know, the whole point is to play as many notes as you can, as fast as you can, use super loud, and I don't know, I just got, you know, bored with it. And I was looking for something else. I was like, I want some other type of music that feels like a deeper thing than just like what this stuff is. And so I had a friend who, I don't remember the circumstances, but let me borrow this Dredge album. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll check it out. And it took me a while to actually listen to it. But then once I did, I was like, man, yeah, this is what I was looking for. So,
all right. You know, I haven't listened to Dredge since... I think I just graduated high school, I mean, like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It was the last time I listened to Dredge, and it was actually probably when I saw them in concert.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever listened to them after. Because I, you know, this track that you played was from their album El Cielo, or however
El
you pronounce
Cielo,
that.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And the one after that was kind of a turn off for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't that great. I don't know how you feel about it, but, so yeah, long time I haven't listened to Dredge, so this took me back.
Yeah, so one of the big things for me is, like, you know, I'm a guitar guy, so, like, the way the guitar sounded on these albums was just, like, mind-blowing to me, because, like, well, you saw him live, and I won't go into bore you with technical details, but he's got, he's running two amps in stereo, so what that means is it's, like, bouncing around on both sides of the stage, the sound, and I was like, you know, I'd never heard something that huge and big sounding before, and also he's just playing super loud. But their guitarist, Mark, it was a big initial part of what made me want to sound my guitar to sound the way it does, just in terms of the big, wide stereo image, which still, like, his tone, the way his guitar sounds is still, like, one of the biggest influences for me. So,
I have to ask, are they still around?
Yeah, I just saw them a couple months ago here in Albuquerque. So, yeah, they... Honestly, like, so I really liked the album that came out after LCA, but okay, honestly, that's fine, but their latest one kind of, like, super disappointed me, but I still went out and they played all the old songs still, which made me really happy, but, yeah, they're still my favorite band, and El Cielo is still my favorite album, and this song that we just heard is my favorite song of all time, probably, so this is where it all started.
All right, there you go. Okay, so... what's going to be the track to start off this next block?
This is Mogwai, which, you know, everybody knows Mogwai. I found out about these guys from being on a Dredge forum, because, you know, I was so into the band right after I discovered them. I was like, I'm going to go hang out with all the other Dredge nerds. And so actually that's initially where I discovered post-rock or ambient music at all. So Mogwai was just a name that was thrown around a lot, and I saw it in like a Barnes & Noble store, and I was like, oh, I've heard that name, I'll just buy it randomly. I'd never heard it or didn't even know what it was going to sound like, and it was just one of those chance things that ended up being a big influence too. So the song is called I Know You Are, But What Am I? And it's from the Happy Songs for Happy People album.
All right, so we'll just jump into this track. Here's Mogwai with I Know You Are, But What Am I?
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Andy of Lowercase Noises, who curated today's podcast. So, Andy, what do we play in that last block right there?
So, yeah, the first song we heard there was a song called I Know You Are, But What Am I? From Mogwai. And then after that, we heard it was a song called Music for a Nurse by Ocean Size. Yeah, so about the Mogwai track, so like we talked about earlier, these are songs that are like really influential to me. And the thing that stood out to me about the Mogwai track was just how super simple it is. Like there's that piano line that's basically just tapping one note like the whole time. And I just remember being blown away by like how something so simple could sound so cool and so like heartbreaking kind of and just sad. So just the emotion that something so simple could bring out is what really got me there. And the Ocean Size track, when I picked this track, I kind of imagined people who are familiar with my music like laughing at be like, oh, this is like where he took everything from, probably. Because there's a lot of the guitar tones, like the way the delay is going in the song and just kind of the general progression and mood of the song. I think I end up drawing a lot, or it kind of sums up what I am trying to do with my music anyway. So, you know, it's really slow going and repetitive and things coming in and out. And so that I just, you know, Ocean Size is a band that's all over the place in terms of how other songs sound. But this one is like a definitive, I don't know, I guess it's still post-rock, but just in terms of instrumental guitar-based stuff, it's just like perfect for me. So
I'm not a big Ocean Size fan, but this is the one track that I can just like play over and over again of theirs.
Right. Yeah, I love all their stuff, but this one is definitely one of my all-time favorites of theirs. So.
All right. So let's see. Ocean Size. That was what year was this? 2003, I think.
Yeah, it was the 2000s. I don't know the exact year. It's from the Everyone Into Position album, yeah.
So now we're in the middle of the 2000s because this next track is going to be?
Next one is going to be This Will Destroy You, which is also another big name. This song is from their first EP, the Young Mountain EP, which is The World Is Our Blank, I guess is how you would say the song out loud. I guess I've never had to say the song name out loud.
Yeah. Originally, like the first time, I'll admit I downloaded this album.
Right.
And I don't think there was a blank. It was just, I think it was typed, The World Is Ours.
Oh.
So for a while, I thought the track name was The World Is Ours.
Okay.
And then when I found out that it was a blank, I'm like, I like The World Is Ours better.
Yeah. So, and this song is another discovery. So Mogwai, Ocean Size, and This Will Destroy You were big discoveries from other Dredge fans. So I kind of went on like a post-rock splurge and, you know, sampled all kinds of stuff, and This Will Destroy You was one of the standouts for me at the time. And, you know, I was into Explosion in the Sky for like a little bit, which is, I guess, the quintessential post-rock band, but I kind of got over it really quickly. So they were kind of like a flash in the pan for me, but This Will Destroy You, I feel like they kind of perfected that style, especially on this EP. And this song, I just love the dynamics of this song. Like there's, well, I'll just let it go. I'll talk about it a little after. So,
all right, sure. So we'll just jump into it.
Yeah.
Here is This Will Destroy You with The World Is Our.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Andy Othling of Lowercase Noises. So, Andy, what did we play in that last block right there?
Yeah, so we just heard The World Is Our Blank by This Will Destroy You, and then Gold Star Mothers by Hammock, which those two bands are really influential for me. Hammock, probably out of all the stuff here, is probably the most similar sounding to the things I do. So, obviously, I think one of the themes here is the way I've been obsessed with people who do things simply really well. So like the Hammock song is just, it's one repeating chord progression like the whole time through. There's no like, you know, verse, chorus, A, B thing going on. It's just one simple thing and different parts are coming in and out, and just, it always blows me away sitting there listening to it, like how little is going on kind of, and just how still just like mind blowing it is for me, like how, and that's one of the things I want to do in my music is have that, you know, that experience happen to people, like, wow, this is so slow and yet still interesting. And to me, that's one of the most interesting things to try to hear or make, which is also happens to be one of the hardest things to make. So,
all right. So, speaking of, This Will Destroy You, did you happen to watch Moneyball?
No, but a funny story about that. Like So I saw the trailer, which had the This Will Destroy You song in it.
Yeah.
But I had a guy on my Facebook wall. He's like, dude, congrats for being in the trailer for Moneyball. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm actually not, because nobody actually asked me about that. But then I was like, well, it'd be kind of cool anyway, because that's like a big deal. So I was like, went and listened to it, and I was a little excited. And then it was the This Will Destroy You song, which was, you know, fine. But I got my hopes up a little bit there for a minute when I saw the guy say that.
That's funny.
So,
yeah, I mean, Moneyball itself was a good movie.
Right.
But the fact that that one, This Will Destroy You song, kind of like is in the movie quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it appears a few times and it's probably one of my favorite songs of theirs. So,
yeah.
It kind of like made the film even better for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this type of music, a lot of people tell me that my music it sounds like cinema music to them, which, so I think maybe a lot of people now are figuring out, oh, this is really good music for movies. And so, you know, I would love to have that happen someday. Maybe it will. So
the playlist is going, I guess, in a more ambient direction,
right,
and moving away from the post-rock.
Sure.
And I'm guessing that's the trend in your musical tastes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it starts off with that, you know, that simple piano part in the Mogwai song. You know, Ocean Size is the simple type of progression and sound still, like a really soft crescendo in that song overall. And This Will Destroy You is, it's still, you know, it's got some, you know, some hard dynamics to it, but it's still, all the melodies are really simple. And then, you know, once I discovered Hammock, especially this album, which is, it's kind of interesting the way the last two songs are related. So Hammock wrote this album, I think, because of Yonzi and Alex, which is what the last song is going to be. They were encouraged by them to write an album that could be performed live by them, which is basically just two electric guitars and I guess a few keyboard, you know, tracks and a cello. So, you know, it's super stripped down. There's no drums or percussion at all on this album. And when I first heard that, I was like, really? You know, that sounds like it's going to be boring. And then you know, it's still my favorite one of theirs, actually, just because of the simplicity. And then the next song, the last song, Yonzi and Alex, it's just, it's the same type of thing, but it's much more, I guess, textural is the word I would use. So there's, you know, the Hammock is pretty straightforward, like electric guitar sounds, you know, the big reverbs, delayed sounds. But Yonzi and Alex, there's just so much interesting little things going on. And so in terms of my music, like, what I tried to do, especially on my latest Vivian's album, is, you know, still include some of the typical electric guitar sounds or whatever, but also just try to do some more interesting, like, what type of like weird-ish little textural sounds can you put in there? So, you know, I did a lot of weird, you know, looping and like warping with kind of tape sounds on the album. And I feel like that's a lot of what the Yonzi and Alex album is. You know, there's just so many weird sounds that just sound awesome that, you know, they're not straightforward, even musical sounds. So it's just a cool mix of stuff.
All right. So before we jump into that,
yeah,
we got, I guess, a few more questions for you. So you are on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you've got a big YouTube page. So you seem like you do a lot of the social media deal. So for a small artist, or currently a small artist, is, you know, social media the way that you have to really, or do you have to really embrace social media if you want to be able to make a living as a small artist?
Well, I'll start off by saying I'm not making a living at it. So, I mean, maybe it isn't the way, because it's currently not doing it for me. But I think it's important because, well, I you know, I hate to say that you have to do anything, because there should be a unique way for each artist to do anything. It shouldn't be just a formula. You know, music isn't a formula. It's not how it works. So, but I think it's important for me to be able to interact with the fans easily. And, you know, cause the way it started out for me was with the YouTube channel, and it was a, you know, I got a lot of followers, I think, because of just, you know, pedals and gear, guitar gear stuff. And, you know, I intermixed it with the songs, and it kind of went from there. But, you know, just being available, I guess you could kind of like write music and then try to go straight to a label or, you know, somewhere. But I, you know, the thing that's, I think, helped me, and when I get this question from people when they're asking for advice, I think the only thing I can really say is to really, you can be tempted to focus all or most of your time on the social aspect of it, because it's fun. You know, like, I post a YouTube video and it's kind of fun to, like, you know, watch the initial comments roll in, and, or, you know, get a conversation going on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. But the reality is, you know, the first thing you need to have is good music, you know, good in quotes, you know, what is good for some people, you know, who knows, but, you know, focus on your music and then be consistent in the presentation to, you know, the social media stuff. Because I think a lot of people just end up giving up, you know, like they get a Twitter or Facebook account or YouTube or whatever, and they just, they try it for a week or a month, and then it's like, ah, oh, you know, nothing's happening. There's no one flocking to my, my YouTube page. I'm not getting a zillion views. But, you know, nothing, I've never had any moments like that where, like, you know, I got posted on some huge thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, bam, I've got, you know, a million followers. It's just, you know, I consistently posted videos. I'm consistently putting out music. You know, I haven't even spent a lot of time, like, sending out albums to be reviewed. You know, I've sent a couple to the Sound Ballet, which I'm thankful to have gotten reviews from them. But really, it's just, I really think it's a matter of working on your music hard, making sure that's obviously the biggest thing you're working on, and then just being consistent and being nice. Being nice is really good. I try to be nice. So, yeah.
All right. Okay, so this is a question that I ask all of our guests. So we are towards the end of 2011 here.
Right.
Are there any albums that came out this year so far that you've really enjoyed?
Yeah, so there are four albums that come to my mind when I hear this. So I guess I'll kind of go from newest to oldest in terms of the year. The past few days I've been listening to a guy named John Mark McMillan just came out with an album called Economy last Tuesday. So it's been out less than a week. And it's kind of like, it's not ambient music at all, but I really look up to James Duke, their guitar player. He's got a real ambient sound, but uses it in a very different context. So it's kind of like more folk rock or straight ahead rock stuff, but he's got a sound. It's just cool to hear it blend in with you know, a different setting. So I've been listening to that a lot. I really love it. I guess going backwards, Gem Club, I don't know if you've heard of them. It's a they have an album called Breakers that just came out a month or so ago, and it's really all it is for the most part is a guy playing piano and singing, and I guess he's occasionally got some strings and a female backup vocals, but it's like, it's seriously, it's so depressing, but I love depressing music. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but just I guess, you know, make sure there's no razor blades around if you are listening to that. But, you know, today it was super dark and stormy, so that was my choice to listen to on my drive home. So, yeah, that's Gem Club. I really like that a lot. A Winged Victory for the Sullen. I really, really like that album a lot. I'm sure you've kept up with that one at least.
yeah.
Just, I love the strings, especially like cello and, you know, string sections are just like the coolest thing. You can play a guitar part and but play the exact same line or progression on a cello and it just sounds so much better in so many situations. So the mix between just the string parts and everything else in that album is great. And you know, I've always loved Stars of the Lid too and the Dead Texan. So that's just really good stuff. And then the other album that I'm still really enjoying, which I came out pretty early in the year, was William Fitzsimmons' new one called Gold in the Shadow. So he's kind of a solo acoustic songwriter type too, but it's kind of like it's more pretty depressing music. So I don't know, maybe that's kind of a theme in my stuff. But you know, a guy with a huge beard, it's kind of like hipster music, but he's got some acoustic, some electronic stuff, and I don't know, I just really like it a lot. So those are my four that I thought of off the top of my head. So
all right, so moving on, you are from Albuquerque,
New Mexico. Yeah.
How is the music scene in Albuquerque?
There's not a huge one. I mean, Albuquerque is typically where bands take a day off between, you know, Texas and Phoenix somewhere. So, you know, it's a really cool place. I really love it here. I do wish there was a little better of a music scene. I've got some really close friends and we're all kind of, you know, helping each other out. I do like that it's not competitive at all because there's nobody really to compete with. We're all just kind of doing our own thing and, you know, supporting each other. So that's really cool. I just had a good friend of mine, Josh. So he's the one who sang on my song, I Want to Live Again, on From Carous All the Way. He has a band called Abraham the Poor. He just moved up to Denver. So I'm hoping that maybe that'll start like a, you know, connection between Denver, which obviously has a nice music scene. It's only 6 hours away. And maybe infuse some of that here. So, you know, I don't know. It's okay. There's a lot of crappy metal bands here. I don't know if that's the same as everywhere else, but
probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's okay. Well, I'm working on making it better. So.
All right. Okay. So, where can people, you know, buy your records, listen to you online? I guess.
Yeah.
See your non-existent tour dates.
Yeah, I've got one tour date right now in Albuquerque this week. So, I guess, I mean, I'm on the regular places, iTunes, if that's what you're familiar with, Amazon. But I do use Bandcamp. I'm a big proponent of Bandcamp, which, I mean, first of all, you can go to lowercasenoises.com and get to all these places I'm going to talk about. But Bandcamp is where I prefer to sell my music. So if you go to my website and click on the music link, it'll bring you right to there. So, at Bandcamp, you can, a few of my albums, like the albums for my kids, I've chosen to have as a zero minimum. So you can choose what you want to pay for. You can get it for free if you want to. Or you could donate some that I'll be very appreciative to you for. And the prices are generally lower there than on Amazon and iTunes anyway. So, and that's music.lowercasenoises.com if you want to go directly there. As you mentioned before, there are six albums in total, you know, of varying lengths and stuff. So I think the minimum, if you wanted to pay the minimum for everything, it's like $12 total to get all six albums. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And we all know that the record industry is kind of in the gutter, sort of.
Yeah.
Not doing so well. So what do you think is the model for future success for?
Yeah. The model is changing, but I think one of the things to realize now is that there kind of isn't a model. Like I kind of mentioned before that artists need to kind of figure out their own unique thing to do in terms of marketing or, you know, just be real to yourself. But, you know, I've kind of experimented a lot with Bandcamp. Like I was pretty skeptical at first. Like if I say people don't have to pay anything, then they're just not going to pay anything. But that ended up not being true. People are very generous, and even, you know, my very first album, Seafront, which I put on Bandcamp, I was like, okay, this is $7. It's $7. And then when the next album came out, I was like, well, I'll try this thing. I put it for a $0 minimum. I ended up making more than double on the album that people could have gotten for free as I did on the first one. You know, maybe that has something to do with the quality of the music or, you know, a bunch of other factors. But the fact is I was like, wow, you know, it is a viable way to do business. So, you know, I think there are a lot of things to take into consideration. Like, do people value music that they get for free? You know, is it kind of just like a, you know, someone hands you a pamphlet, you're like, oh, you know, I'm just going to throw this away. You know, if they didn't pay for it, do they still value it? But, you know, all that to say is that I Bandcamp is, when I'm looking at, I guess, income from albums, it's far and above. I make more money on Bandcamp than on iTunes and Amazon, like by, you know, probably 4 or 5 times. And but with the fact being that everything is still lower cost to the people, to my listeners, than it is on iTunes and Amazon, which is really interesting. And I, you know, I'm constantly trying to tell people that I appreciate that because that's their support. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you have to kind of feel out what works best for you. I think for some reason in the ambient, this kind of community of people listening to this music are very generous, and that works. You know, maybe if I was like a hip hop DJ, maybe people wouldn't be so willing, or, you know, if I was like a singer, songwriter, acoustic guitar, you know, it just depends. I don't know, but there are so many different things to try. And I feel like, you know, in this point of my life, I don't need to depend on that, the money. I'm still kind of doing it, you know, as a, I guess, a hobby. I don't want it to be a hobby forever, but I do want to do this full time. But, you know, I have the ability to experiment, and, you know, if a bunch of people get a free album from me, that's not a huge deal. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but there's just a lot of things to think about and a lot of things. I think if you experiment and figure out what's best for you is ultimately the best thing. So Bandcamps work great for me. I encourage everyone to try it. So.
All right. So one last question, sure. Which is, what's next for Lowercase Noises?
Well, so there are a lot of things coming up for me that aren't directly related to releasing a new album anytime soon. I kind of want to, like, the last few things, you know, Vivian's album was like a definitive deadline. I was kind of rushing, you know, to get that done. I've put out, like we've mentioned before, 6 albums in 3 years, and that's a lot by any artist's standard, I think. I think the next thing I want to do in terms of albums, I want to take my time, definitely do a full length, because the last two have been just EPs. And, you know, I'm going to continue doing the YouTube stuff. I have some collaborations in the works that I'm wanting to do, most notably with my friend Josh, who I mentioned before, who just moved to Denver, who's a really good singer. Trying to infuse his kind of acoustic singing style with my style, which I think worked well for the one song off the Carious Holloway record. So we kind of wanted to expand on that. I'm hoping to get into locally to Albuquerque more studio production work. So I'm working with a guy named Alex right now who's got a project called Glow House, and I'm having a ton of fun with that. So production stuff. So I'm honestly, in terms of my music, I'm just going to take my time. I want the next thing to put out to be like so much better than anything else. So that's my goal anyway. So I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to put any deadlines on myself like I've done in the past. So, but I'll definitely keep everybody updated.
All right. Sounds good. So any last words before we jump into this track by, Jonesy and Alex, or Yonesy and Alex, or Rice Boy Sleeps, however you want to call it?
Well, I mean, I don't know, this song is long, so I hope, you know, like I mentioned before, I just love how, you know, how simple it is, and just, you know, how things come in and out and all the strange things that end up going on. And all the string parts in this song are so awesome too. So, but, I don't know, so I guess this song kind of represents where I'm at right now, or where I was when Vivian's album came out. I think I've kind of moved on a little bit, but just in terms of like the textural part, you know, just the simplicity and stuff. So I'm going to move on to something else a little bit after this. So, but this is kind of like where it was, for that. So yeah, but thanks for having me on, and I hope people enjoy checking this stuff out. So
no problem. Thanks for being on the show, Andy. We'll jump into this last track. Here is Yonzi and Alex with Happiness.